Professor Andrew DeRoche, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's my pleasure, and thanks for your interest.
Professor DeRoche, we have heard so much in the past several years about sea ice and things like polar bears having difficulty in finding food. But yeah, I think this is the first time that people have put those two together and say, because the sea ice is retreating, the polar bears are having to swim longer distances. What exactly is it that you've discovered here?
Well, we were doing a study of polar bear habitat use and movement ecology in the Beaufort Sea on the Canadian side of this population that's shared with Alaska. And one of the things that became clear was that some of our Alaskan colleagues had seen some very unusual swimming events in polar bears that they were following. They had one bear that swam almost 700 kilometers. And during that swim, she lost her cub and she lost over 20% of her body weight as well. So we were doing our study at the same time, and we thought, well, what are our bears doing? And, of course, one of the things we were interested in was water is a habitat for bears. It's not their preferred habitat. They want to walk on ice. And this is also at a time of great change in the population. So we started to look at our data more closely to see how often the bears were swimming in this area.
Now, because the ice is retreating, and I guess what the bears are doing is having to swim longer distances from land to ice or ice to land or ice to ice, as the case may be.
That's exactly what's happening. This is an area that's undergone very rapid sea ice change. And if you just go back about three decades, I mean, in the summer, the sea ice was, you could see it from shore if you stood on the coast of Alaska or the Yukon Territory. So this has changed very quickly. And one of the consequences is when things change is, you know, the bears are trying to figure out how to live in this changing environment. And they have two options now. And one is that, and the traditional one is they would just go north when the ice retreated, and then they would come south in the fall and winter when the ice advanced back southward. And I think what's happened is the rules have changed. So the bears are trying to stay on the ice, but it's a really dynamic and challenging environment for them to live in now. So one of the consequences is they may be on a piece of ice that's rapidly melting, and then they have to swim either for land or for sea ice.
Have there been any studies to estimate, for example, the amount of energy that is expended to say, swim 20 kilometers as opposed to walking 20 kilometers?
It's we believe it's a lot more energetically expensive, but we don't have good data on sort of the energetic side of swimming polar bears. It's not easy to do, as you can imagine. And of course, one of the issues is, you know, polar bears are well adapted for swimming, and so that's not a problem for them. But the challenge is not all bears are created equal when it comes to swimming, and particularly swimming long distances. So in the study when we were looking at, we called long distance more than 50 kilometers, but we had some bears swimming up to 400 kilometers. So the issue here is if you're a really young bear, like a young cub that's dependent on its mother in the first couple of years, those bears are not as capable of swimming long distances. They cool down, they run out of energy, they just exhaust themselves, and they're more at risk of dying. And of course, at the other end of the age spectrum, the older bears or bears in poor condition are also at risk.
Was that 400 kilometers at one go?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. As you know, we don't have excellent resolution because we only get a location on a bear every 4 hours. So it's possible that a bear could have jumped on a small ice floe, but looking at the satellite images through the area where the bears were swimming, no, there was no ice that we could see from satellites. So that was a straight run of over 400 kilometers for these bears. So you can think about it. I mean, this is an animal that's evolved to walk on sea ice, not swim in the oceans. I mean, it's not like a seal or a walrus or some other species that's really well designed for swimming permanently, really.
Throughout nature, it's always a question of energy input to energy expended in terms of being able to survive. I imagine that having to swim these long distances does put an enormous strain on the animal.
It's exactly our concern. And one of the things to keep in context is this southern Beaufort Sea. There's 19 populations in the circumpolar Arctic. This is just one, but it's one that's undergone really severe declines in recent years, upwards of 50% in the last decade. And so one of the things is we're not exactly sure why the population has declined. We know that survival rates are lower and reproductive rates are lower. And so one of the little insights we get is that this decline in population abundance might be associated with some of the bears having to swim more often, which would have an impact on survival rates and most definitely on the survival rates of young cubs. So it means you're not recruiting animals into the population. And we know that females with small cubs, the cubs are incredibly vulnerable to hypothermia. So at this time of year, a female will walk for tens or 100 kilometers just to avoid going through any large area of open water. And this year, the sea ice conditions are particularly challenging up in that part of the world.
Professor DeRoche, I remember seeing a documentary not that long ago about something similar to this. There was a polar bear that they had filmed swimming a long distance to get to sea ice where hopefully they would feed, but when they got there, there was nothing to eat. And the documentary basically said the bear had gone too far. It didn't have the energy to swim back, and there was no food where it was, so that was pretty much it for that bear.
It's a bit of a risk, definitely, because, again, as I mentioned, the rules have changed here. And so if you look at the Beaufort Sea ecosystem, the really productive part of that marine environment is right along the coast. We have a very narrow continental shelf area. And one of the challenges is, yes, bears can swim long distances. They go a long ways north. But for a bear in the Beaufort Sea, once they're 300 or 400 or 500 kilometers offshore, they're now in the Arctic Ocean, the deep waters. This is 2,000 to 3,000 meters deep. The biological productivity is very low out there. There's very few seals. So there's very little reward for a bear that goes all the way out there. But of course, they're also working under the premise that, well, my mom took me out here when I was a cub, and it was only 20 kilometer swim. That was nothing. So the problem for the bears is that the rules are changing. They're changing very fast, and this is a very variable area. So some years the ice is closer in, other years it's just incredibly far away.
Professor DeRoche, this may be a little bit away from your study, but because the ice is retreating, we know, for example, that other types of animals are migrating into the Arctic, such as killer whales, which have never been there before because the ice sort of prevented them from getting in there. And the bears, of course, have no knowledge of predators of that nature. Is that an increasing threat that maybe killer whales will start to find swimming bears and attack them?
Well, it's possible. You know, the one caveat I'd put to that is polar bears really don't like to swim. So if at all possible, they would far prefer to stay on the ice. That's what they're trying to do. So it's not like the bears are just going to paddle around all summer waiting for the ice to come back. They're going to try to get somewhere. They have to, pretty much. It's a limited amount of time they can be in the water. It would be an unfortunate bear that bumped into a killer whale. I think where we're probably going to see the changes in the ecosystem more, though, is that killer whales are coming in to the Canadian Arctic in exponential numbers. The sightings are just going straight up. And, of course, the reason they're coming into the Arctic is not to eat polar bears, but to eat the prey of polar bears. So they're looking for ring seals and bearded seals. And those are two species that really have no defense against a predator like the killer whale coming into their habitat. So we're seeing a change, and this is something that's been noted in many parts of the Arctic now. We're seeing a change in the marine environment, the terrestrial environment. A lot of southern species are moving northward, and nature doesn't like to leave open spaces in the ecosystem, and some organism will come in and fill that. And longer term, we would expect that polar bears would give up the top spot to killer whales if there's not enough sea ice in their environment.
Professor DeRoche, as you study these bears and the populations in the Arctic, what are you seeing in terms of their numbers? Because we've heard sometimes conflicting information, and now with yet another aspect that seems to threaten them, what's going to happen here?
Well, again, you know, this is sort of one of the challenges, is that we still have lots of bears on Earth right now, somewhere plus a side of 20,000 polar bears. But again, these are divided into 19 different populations, and some are doing just fine. So we've got populations in the central Canadian Arctic around Fox Basin and northern Hudson Bay area, and there's about 2,500 bears there. There were 2,500 bears there about 20 years ago. But if you look at other populations, the one around Churchill, Manitoba, in the core denning area, that population used to be about 1,200. Now we're down around 800. The Beaufort Sea used to be higher than about 1,600. Now we're somewhere around 800 to 1,000 bears. So we've seen major declines in parts of the range. Over the longer term, and when we talk longer term in polar bear ecology, we think three generations, about 36 to 45 years. And in that type of time frame, that's where we get very concerned. So there's no question that, of course, local people see lots of bears where they live in some parts of the Arctic, and I would agree that they won't see any change. They might be seeing more bears. That wouldn't be surprising. But it's the longer-term projections that we've got about what's happening to their habitat. And in essence, this is just the same threat that most wildlife are facing across the planet, and it's just loss of habitat. And their habitat for polar bears is sea ice, and it's disappearing. It's pretty dramatic. I've worked up in the Western Arctic and the Churchill area for many, many years, and even when I worked in the Norwegian Arctic for the Norwegian government, the study area in the Norwegian Arctic, actually, we can't even work there anymore. We used to work on an island where there were 30 or 40 females that were giving birth to their cubs. That island is no longer functioning habitat for polar bears. There's just no sea ice there anymore. So, again, it has changed far, far faster than I would have ever thought. We first addressed the climate change issue in a scientific paper in 1993. And at that time, I was quite convinced that this was a problem for future generations of polar bear biologists, that wasn't really going to affect me and my working career. I was terribly wrong on that aspect, and the rate of change in the Arctic has been surprising and shocking, and you can see it. You just work in these areas, and the ice just isn't as thick. There's not as many bears. They're not in as good condition as they used to be. The whole ecosystem has really fundamentally changed.
Professor Andrew DeRoche, thank you very much for your time today.
It's been my pleasure. Great talking with you.